flow. And I've been being met in my heart on just the, I would call it the realities of the kingdom. The Spirit's just been speaking in my heart about it. And we're in such an important time. It's a transitional time, so it's difficult because things are passing away, but I'm just so thrilled with what I see coming forth by the Spirit. We're in a time where the kingdom of God is being manifest in a greater way in this natural realm. Now, I don't see it as being an all-at-once thing. It's been happening, really, since the day Jesus was proclaiming it. Wherever the Spirit of God is being released and manifesting His presence, that's the kingdom of God in operation. But we're in a time to see more of it happen. How much, I don't know. I just want to embrace with faith what God's bringing forth. There's a real emphasis, I know, in the Christian world, in the church world, on getting the gospel preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come, whatever that means. But my point, and I've shared this before, is yes, the gospel needs to be preached to the ends of the earth, but what gospel are we talking about? The gospel that many have heard in the church world, I don't see bringing an end to anything. I don't think it's a religious thing. I don't think it's simply indoctrinating more people in the ways of what the Scripture teaches, even though we love the Scriptures. It's the gospel of the kingdom that must be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And what that's all about is beyond the doctrine is words of spirit and life, as Jesus described. Words that can bring revelation and bring the realm of heaven into this plane of earth. The gospel of the kingdom is the release of the dimension of who God is into the natural plane for people to experience. His authority, His government, His presence, His healing. And then as that is manifest through the people of God, yes, the end of the age that we've known will happen. It'll be the age of His presence in full on this earth. What would happen if we could get the whole world in one religion, the Christian religion? Have you ever thought about that? I know that a lot of people are striving for that. Just everybody was a Christian, we wouldn't have any problems. Well, we would eliminate some problems, some of the wars that we see. Well, a lot of the... we'd have a different kind of war, what I call the psychic wars that happen within the church. Let's say we got everybody on the planet Earth, one religion, the Christian religion. I would welcome that, except that doesn't necessarily mean that we have the kingdom of God on Earth, does it? We'd have a lot of carnal Christians running around, 1,001 different interpretations of what it means to be a Christian. And so we wouldn't see, thank God, the bloodshed we see today, maybe. Hopefully not, but we'd see again a lot of the psychic wars, disagreements, all the problems that we have in the flesh now. Religion can't cure that. So we could have everybody thinking the same and still not have the Lordship of Jesus Christ manifest. See, the gospel of the kingdom is bringing the realm that God is and where He lives into this plane. And as that happens, everything changes. Nothing can remain the same. We don't need everybody of the same religion. We need everybody touched by the power of God and knowing by revelation who He and His Son is. We need everyone touched and changed by the reality of His kingdom. We're a part of that. This is the thrust of faith that we're a part of. It's an exciting thing. The kingdom of God and the difference, I'm going to just do a few comparisons with the church. I think in the church age, would you agree with me, there's a lot of striving with God. It's like Jacob wrestling with the angel. It's a good thing, you know, he wrestled with the angel to get the blessing. His name was changed. And we've seen a lot of that, I think, in the church age. There's a striving, and a lot of it's based on a lack of awareness, unfortunately. Feeling that God is far off, that we have to be so dedicated to somehow bring Him near to us. Well, we know the truth is, because of His Son, He lives within us. But a lot in the church age is a striving to perform. Striving to please God. And again, that a lot of that goes back to the shame base of the old nature, feeling ashamed, cut off, disconnected from God. We strive to improve ourselves, make Him happy. And that striving is not what the kingdom of God is all about. I think if you could describe what the church age has been, it's been we got to make it happen. You've had a lot of faith, a lot of dedication. All those are all wonderful qualities. But there's also been a lot of soulish striving, trying to strive with God. If we try hard enough, we can convince him to do the things we want him to do. A lot of that's based, I think, in the human ego, isn't it? It's we've got to get God to do the things we want him to do. It's based on our thinking. The kingdom of God is the cry of the bondservants. It's not based on what we perceive or what we want. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it already is in heaven. The realities of the kingdom pour forth from those that have no agenda of their own. Their only agenda is to see the will of God done in the earth. And half the time we're clueless as to what that is. That doesn't matter. It's the heart of the bondservant that's crying out, God, thy will be done. Thy agenda, the mind of Christ, be fulfilled. And so instead of us striving with God and saying, we've got to make it happen, the cry of the kingdom becomes, we've got to let it happen. Letting go, surrendering our will, our ego, letting the reality and power of the Spirit manifest through us. It comes back to the rest of the Lord, Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, isn't it? When the kingdom of God is flowing, there's a place of rest that people are dwelling in. Now, rest of the Lord is not inactivity, but rather it's a change of who is doing the activity. In the church age, in the religious world, we have a lot of activity that people are generating trying to please God. As the kingdom of God and the dimension of Spirit is flowing forth, we have a lot of activity that's being generated by the Spirit of God. It's not a passive state, but it's a state where we're depending on His Spirit and His voice to lead us. Church age really doesn't prepare us for the realities of the kingdom. I was thinking about this. When you get that revelation in your heart, there's just something within you. We were created to live in and manifest the presence in the kingdom of God. There's just something in our hearts that witnesses to it, that desires it. And I thought about our life in church, in the church age awareness, we really aren't prepared for it. So much of the church age and our life in church is about doing works and keeping busy and our behavior, you know, somehow correcting that this human state, make ourselves more presentable to God. And so much of the striving that's built in that, I think, takes us away from the awareness of his presence in his kingdom. It's like the kingdom of God is the new wine of the Spirit, and we try to put it in the old wineskin of our history, and it just bursts it apart. There's nothing in our experience that can hold that revelation of his kingdom, so we have to look to the new wineskin of who he is within us. We all have that new wineskin. And so it's really a process of faith. I can't look back and see a lot of my conditionings in history that can prepare me for holding this living word of the kingdom. So how do I hold it? The reality of my life has to be trusting him. I don't know how else to hold it. My mind can't hold it. It holds little parts, and other parts just blows my thinking away. We hold that living word, that life of the kingdom, by the faith and trust that we have in our heart toward him. It's a relationship. It's a wonderful thing. Going to the thing of our mind and our thinking, the kingdom of God means a transformation and renewal of our mind. We love those words, don't we? Renewal, transformation. We're all frustrated with how many problems our natural mind creates for us, how much frustration. The words renewal and transformation are wonderful words. I just wish that what that meant was God writing a book saying, these are my thoughts. And we have the Bible that are God's thoughts, but wouldn't it be nice to say, the mind of Christ in 10 easy steps? Well, renewal, transformation, the first major step is letting go of the way we look at things and the pride we have in how we view things. So I think it's a troubling thing to us, isn't it? The kingdom of God comes to renew us that we can think the way God thinks, but the difficulty is it comes and it jars and shakes and challenges the way we have thought about things and all the security we put in how we've thought about things. You go through the scriptures, this has always been the challenge. The Israelites coming up on a Red Sea, you look and say, well, it's such a wonderful thing that took place. I mean, what are you complaining about? God parting the sea for you. Well, it's easy with hindsight to look back at history and say, well, those guys were just, what was wrong with them? How could they not appreciate what God was doing? The same way that we can not appreciate today what he's doing. When they were facing leaving Egypt, they were not mentally prepared for what God was going to do. In their minds, they were thinking, God has taken us out of Egypt. They weren't thinking about the Egyptians following them out. They thought of probably about a nice leisurely hike to a new country, and that's it. Land flowing with milk and honey. They weren't prepared mentally for what God was going to do. Parting a Red Sea, the time in the wilderness, water out of a rock, manna from heaven. The provision was wonderful, but it required them to let go of their preconceived ideas and thinking about things. Gideon, called of God to lead the nation of Israel to victory. You say, well, look how God confirmed miraculously to him that he was with them. What's the problem? The problem is Gideon got up every morning and looked, if they had mirrors, saw himself a certain way. And God came and challenged his thinking and his perception of himself. Oh, mighty man of valor. Gideon goes, you're not talking about me. That's not how I think about myself. So for Gideon to appreciate what God was going to do in the commission, he had to let go of his own thinking. That's the challenge to us. That's what the kingdom of God brings. Are we willing to let go so we can let the revelation of who God is flow through us? The disciples ran into the same problem, didn't they? With Jesus. Constantly, with the way he was moving was a challenge to the way they thought. In their thinking, there was no place for the Son of God to die on a cross. So after he left, after he was crucified, they were very disillusioned and discouraged. What was all that time about when Jesus came back and manifested his resurrected self to them? It was about them learning to let go of their disappointment, fellowshipping with the life, letting go of the way they thought about things. Why? So on the day of Pentecost, the life of God could flow through them in a whole new age. What happened on that day? Jesus prophesied it in the book of John. Feast of Tabernacles, he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit they were about to receive. What a wonderful promise. Yet before they could receive that Spirit and the rivers of life flowing through them, that new age of the kingdom and his presence flowing through them, which is what the book of Acts is all about, their thinking had to be challenged and they had to let go of what they thought that Jesus was going to do and how he was going to work things. The one last thing I want to conclude with is, I think, critical to this receiving of and moving in this realm of the kingdom of God is our ability to listen. I thought about my father over the years, and, you know, he was well respected in churches that we were a part of, because he waited on God, he spoke something alive from God, and people recognized that. But he never fit into the church system. I thought, yeah, people really responded to him, but he just never fit into the program, thank goodness. But that's the way it is with someone that's reaching for the kingdom of God and to reaching for the Spirit. You can function in the church age level, but you're not going to fit in because there's a different emphasis. And here's what I want to stress. Growing up in the church world, the emphasis is on speaking, right? As soon as people come alive spiritually, we want to get them trained, memorize the scriptures, and start prophesying, speaking the word, good things. I'm thinking back over the years, we've been involved with groups of people that were just so dedicated to the Lord, prophesying things, speaking things. It's a wonderful show of dedication. The only problem I have is we've all been disappointed at the lack of fulfillment. And that's what the kingdom of God addresses. It's not simply talking. The emphasis on the kingdom level, I believe, is the ears, listening. As we learn to listen to what the Spirit is speaking, When your heart is listening, the realm of spirit becomes real to you. It's more than just hearing about it. When we're listening, it becomes a reality within us. Then, when we speak from that reality, there is the fruitfulness. I think what's been missing in the past is there's been good intentions, speaking, prophesying, but where's the life been? And the church world doesn't emphasize people waiting before God and finding the life. They emphasize, come to church. We got this organization to keep going. We need to keep you busy. People are running all the time. Running with what? So that's why the kingdom of God, I don't think, fits into this system. It's going to blow it apart. I think everywhere. It's not going to be a church movement. It's going to be people that are now and will be hearing the call of the Spirit, responding to something greater than what the church world has had to offer. But in the kingdom of God, it's having the ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. A few quick verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Okay? This faith, this reality of faith, where does it come? Hearing the word of Christ. Again, it's the ears that open the door. Hearing what the Spirit is speaking. It's more than just instructions. When you're listening to the Spirit, those words of life become your experience. They impart life to you. In John 5:24, the word says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Okay, here again, hearing the word, from that there's the believing in the person of Jesus Christ, and what's the result? Eternal life. This is what the gospel of the kingdom's all about. It's not a better level of doctrine or teaching. It might be that, but it's about the life of God coming through the words. Revelation 3:20, you don't have to turn there. You know this verse. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will dine with him and he with me. He stands at the door and knock. Okay, if you're behind the door and someone is knocking, do you see him? I think this is really symbolic of how the kingdom's manifesting. Everybody wants to see it. We're all the doubting Thomas. Show me first, then I'll believe. Well, we're in an era, an age, and have been, where they describe it as the invisible Christ. He's here. He's in our heart. He dwells within us. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It dwells within us. But it's not so much by sight, is it? What do you do? How does it become real? If someone's on the other side of the door, you don't see him, but what do? You hear the knocking. Isn't that what's happening? The living word of Christ comes as a knocking on our heart. We hear him first. And then if we open the door, we open up to those words of life. What's the outcome of that? Fellowship with the person of Jesus Christ. Fellowship in his presence. The outcome of that is experiencing the life of God. But I've never quite seen it this way. When the door is closed, you don't see the other person on the other side. You hear the knocking. And a lot of people can say, well, where's the reality of the kingdom? I want to see it. I would say, do you hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church today? Do you hear the knocking? Open up to the words of life. Develop the ears to hear. And out of the hearing, it becomes your experience. Things of spirit become real. And then as we speak what? Not simply what someone has told us or what the leader of the church is saying to speak. We speak out of the words of life that we're experiencing. And there is the fruitfulness. John 1, what do they say? That life which we've handled, that life that's real with us, that's what we're ministering to you. Whole different reality, isn't it? Amos talks about a famine in the land for what? hearing the words of the Lord. The kingdom of God is knocking, a very loud knock. God, give us the ears. And really, what are we talking about? The humility to let go of our old thinking, the humility to be in a place of waiting before him to hear what he's speaking. Waiting on the Lord is not simply an exercise in meditation. It's the positioning of our heart that we're not going to get caught up in the anxiety of the age of trying to run around and do a lot of things for him. It's not the Martha that causes you to hear what the Spirit's speaking. It's the Mary part of your heart that wants to sit before him until he becomes real. It doesn't mean we're inactive. It means the emphasis is on listening to what he has to speak, experiencing that life. Because when we listen, we become. And then when we become, we are led by the Spirit into living works. Amen.
Amen.
Well, brother, could you come up and introduce yourself? And
David, when I first saw you, I thought, I like this man. Come to church in shorts. And then he opened his mouth, and I knew I loved him. I really don't want to talk about myself, if that's okay. I might just say this, that the Lord opened my heart to his love at about 1969-1970 and put within my being such a reality of his love that I began to see all of humanity in a different light. And I began to realize that the only reason that the church systems as we know it have not begun to walk in the reality of the kingdom of God is because we've never followed a simple commandment, and that is love one another as I have loved you. And you know, we can look at God's love, and we know that God loves everyone. And I often share about the magnitude of Calvary's victory, because the magnitude of Calvary's victory says that God took all of the old creation, he took all of your sin, he took all of your habits, he took all of that old antichrist nature, he took everything in your being that's not according to his loveliness, and he nailed it to a cross. And he did that not just for a few, but he did that for all of creation. And that's why the scriptures say that even when you were dead in sin, that he made you alive and he raised you up together and seated you in heavenly places. When did that happen? It happened 2,000 years ago. And when I began to realize that, because see, my concept had always been that God's blessing was only on the man who came to an altar. Or God's blessing was only on the man who would say certain words, or you know what I mean? But God, the message of Calvary is that God had stretched out his arms and he looked at his creation and he said, not guilty. And at the very men who nailed him to a cross with thorns on his head and nails in his hands and his feet, to the men who did the most despicable act in the universe, he looked and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And you see, that's the condition of every man, every woman, every child that's ever been born on this earth. If today you are not manifesting the love of God, if today you cannot love all of humanity, if in your being there's any resentment at all towards anyone, you have not yet entered into that heart of the Father. You have not entered into the heart of the Savior who could say, Father, forgive them for nailing me to a cross. And when you stop and think about it, the very men that nailed him to the cross was a part of the plan of God's redemption. Every man has a purpose. And the only thing we need to really discover in our lives is the reality of those words, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you could, and you know, and this is how I began to enter the reality of this love, is I used to contemplate, what would it be like if I loved as Jesus loved? What would it be like if I could look at someone who had despitefully used me, or perhaps, you know, did all manner of evil against me? What would it be like to sense nothing but a compassion and a love flow from my being? I used to contemplate that. And I spent months and even years crying out for God to create within me that heart that would bring restoration to his people. And today I can honestly say, that's my life. That I have no animosity, no ill will, no guilt and no condemnation for any man, no matter what his culture, no matter what his religion, no matter what he's been taught. Because, you know, really deep in the heart of everyone, there is that seed that God has planted. The Gospel of John says that Jesus was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And then Proverbs 20:21 tells us that the spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord. So you put those two verses together, what they're really saying is that every man has that spirit, has that lamp, has that candle of the Lord. And all it needs is to be ignited. We call it regeneration. We call it born again. We call it salvation. But listen, every man on this planet, whether it's Osama bin Laden or whether it's what you consider the most pious man on earth, we all have the essence, the substance, the greatness of God's being within us. And so the gospel of Jesus, as Paul said, the gospel of Jesus is not unto condemnation, it's unto life. Paul said that the gospel was the power of God unto deliverance. That means if I really know the gospel, if I really walk in the kingdom of God, then the words, the very words that I speak, are, as Jesus said, they are spirit and life. And they will create hunger and a passion in the hearts of those we speak to. And no matter, I've said many times, I tell you, this is my heart. I would like to sit down with Osama bin Laden. And I would have no condemnation for him. I would have no guilt to put upon him. I would simply, with everything within me, I would want to ignite the spirit of God that's within that man. Can you see how the church would come alive if we really operated in the love that God has for us? God loves all equally. And God's heart is to bring reconciliation and restoration to all of creation. And that's what Paul said. He said, all of creation is groaning. Have you ever sensed deep within your being just a groaning and a longing for creation to come into the awareness of the presence of God moment by moment in their daily life? Paul says, all of creation, we're waiting and groaning for the manifestations of the Son of God. How long is creation going to have to wait? Only until you awaken to the reality of your being. We sang a song a while ago, and as we sang a line of that song, the Lord spoke to me. We sang, like none is like unto thee. And the Lord spoke up within me, and he said, that's not true. That's not true. And as long as we believe it's true, we'll never enter into the reality, because there is one like unto him. There is a corporate man, a corporate people on this earth today that the Lord is awakening to the reality of their being, and they are like unto him. They're not anything like religion. There's no bigotry. There's no animosity. towards any man, any religion, any culture. There's a people of love being birthed in the heart of God that will bring this reconciliation and restoration. Sons of God being manifested, not someday, but today, right in our hearts, the Son is being manifested. Amen. I'll close with that. But I just encourage you to get to know the reality of each of us. Each of us need more reality of that word that we know. I did a series of messages a while back. I called the experience of oneness, because we've all known oneness. We know about oneness. We know that we're one with God. We know that Jesus lives in us. We know that we're redeemed. But look at us. Let's seek God for the reality of what we know to be the truth. Right. Amen, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Amen. Preview of tonight.